close to this very day. Homeboys through the summer, winter, spring, and fall. And then the summer wish you never knew at all. But this list goes on again and again. But these are the people that we call friends. Friends. Boom, 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 boom. How many? So that's, you've heard me do that before, right? Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit do better so together we can be a little better. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is for you. We are so glad you are here joining us for a Little Better podcast. And I'm so glad that Jeremy Laskowski is joining us here. It's not the first time you've been on the podcast, or is it? And it's certainly the first time you've done it in this studio. But anyway, you brought the message on Sunday, loved it. I'm loving the summer. I'm loving seeing so many different voices, you know, just because there are so many people here who are worth hearing from. You're one of them. And as we always, and as we always kick it off, we'd just love to hear you recap your sermon in 60 seconds
or less. 60 second recap. Yeah. First, thanks, Brad. Thanks for having me. And this is episode 93, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Episode 93. Yes. We are counting to 100.
Counting to 100.
We'll keep going past 100, but we're...
That's the goal, right? They let you stay on that long. So, sermon in 60 seconds. Basically, what you handed it off to me from the week beforehand, you talked specifically about things that the Colossian church was dealing with in their world. A lot of things going on the outside of the church body that Paul was warning believers about. This week, in these passages, Paul was... kind of shifting his focus inwardly towards things that really were impacting the Colossian church, things that originated from the Old Testament law that people were still viewing as necessary, as vital for their Christian faith, rather than accepting the gift of Jesus that that had been offered to them. So, it basically served, this past week served as a great reminder to me and hopefully those that were able to hear it, just of the fullness and the freedom that we have today and every day that's offered to us through the work of Jesus and not our own.
Yeah. I love, we're gonna unpack it, so many great, you know, applications, ways to think about that. But before we go, before we do, like I said, great to have you here on the podcast. I don't know how many people know you. Would love to hear about, you know, your family, your ministry. Let's get to know Jeremy a little bit.
Yeah, so my wife, my wonderful wife, Chelsea, and I, we've been in Rochester now almost 7 years.
Really?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we originally moved from North Carolina, moved up here when we were around 2 years married. We'll celebrate our 8 years of being married in October this year. So just wild, that whole journey of transitioning as a newly married couple.
And tell us about your family.
Yeah, we've got all of my brothers. I have three younger brothers. They all live here. They all live here. And so... it's just been a gift. Each year, I'm wondering what family member who it's going to be.
Yeah.
Who's going to draw the card to,
to move up to Rochester. A lot of Laskowskis around here, and they're all a value add for sure. But when I was asking about your family, I was thinking about the youngest guy in your family. Tell us about
that. Yeah. So Jay, he came to our family through foster care in January of this year. So he's just been... just so awesome. He's full of energy. He just turned three a couple days ago. But he's just been such a gift to Chelsea and I.
Yeah, I think I just recently started following Chelsea on Instagram. Such wonderful pictures, so much joy. I saw the birthday party, you know, just really cool.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about your ministry. You're at the Webster campus, correct?
That's right. Yeah, so I get the privilege of being with kids and students on Sundays and Wednesdays, and just get to do life, get to do ministry with some wonderful volunteers. One of the things that I love most about our Northridge family is the people that we have that just care so deeply about the next generation. And so it gets me fired up just to get to come to church on Sunday, to get to be with students and people that really care about the work Jesus is doing in their lives on Wednesdays and through the week. Is just it's a blessing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's get back to your message. I do feel like you said it's kind of a well, there's, it's, we could look at it as a two-part message, look at it as a 10-part message. We have a 10-week series going through here, Colossians. But like you said last week, you know, I was saying they really are out to get you. You know, the people, you know, those forces mm-hmm. coming outside, but you're turning the corner to what threatens what Christ wants for us from the inside. You talked about freedom and this interfering with, I think, the freedom we are supposed to experience. Could you comment a little bit more on that? I thought that was really helpful.
Yeah, no, I mean, as I was preparing for this message, the theme of freedom, the subtext actually for that passage is freedom from human rules. And just unpacking that idea of freedom, what that means for us. I talked a little bit about that on Sunday, but just so often when we hear that word, we think of freedom to do something. Mm-hmm. We think of freedom to go eat at whatever restaurant that we like. And certainly living in America, we're blessed with freedoms that people don't have. And so for us, in a sense, just because of our cultural context, the time in which we live today, there's a lot of freedoms to do different things that sometimes we just take for granted.
Right.
And so it can be easy to kind of look at this scripture through that lens of freedom, but biblical freedom is entirely different. We're free to do certain things through through what scripture says, but the greatest freedom that all of us are offered is freedom from our sinful nature.
Right.
Freedom from the bondage of of sin that we don't have a solution for. Like on our own.
Right, right.
We're hopeless. And so just that idea of freedom is one that I have enjoyed unpacking and learning more about through the whole process.
Even any of our attempts, our attempts not to sin apart from Christ are sinful, meaning that we're just, we're trying to justify ourselves. We're trying to do good. We're trying to be, you know, good enough. And just to have that freedom from, no, Christ has already taken care of it for you. And therefore now we have freedom, you know, from, you know, sin. We get to do things that are actually genuinely good and pleasing to God. I love that theme of freedom. And feel free to redirect this conversation because I really want to talk about what's most on your heart. But there are so many things that I was responding to and thinking about as you were talking. I think the text leads off talking about judging, right?
That's right.
And so, and I think we talked about a number of ways we should not judge, but are there right ways to judge? I mean, how should we understand this? I mean, it certainly doesn't mean, well, tell us what it does mean or what occurs to you as far as what is the right understanding of judging? There's wrong, right?
Right.
Is there right judging?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. And I think where I'd like to start is just by in verse 16 where Paul says, do not let anyone judge you. And then he goes on to kind of unpack specific parameters, specific things not to judge people based on. He then goes on and through the text, through my time just getting to spend in that select few verses, what I grew to see is that Paul is getting after this root issue behind the judgment. That this judgment is not rooted in love for someone. This judgment is coming from a place of pride, whether it's judgment of ourselves on the lack of performance, on the our mistakes. It's rooted in this sense of pride that, oh, no, I'm good. I'm somehow good enough. I can fix it. Yeah. I can get myself out of this mess.
Right. It feels very horizontal. It feels very bell curve. It feels all of those things, which is a total antithesis to know it's this vertical relationship, you know, with our Savior. And the things that are being judged are, again, performative, you know, and there's these rules that don't even really have a usefulness anymore. So let's talk a little bit about practice. So Paul's criticizing like a number of things that, you know, we shouldn't be judged on, or they don't matter, or they're obsolete. You know, I know you probably in your research got to find out a little bit more about what are new moon festivals? What are some of these other things? But there's these things that Paul is criticizing. Please don't measure your life in Christ by that. But are there, so I guess I have two parts of the question, which is one is tell us a little bit about, you know, what you found there, if at all, about that. But then also, what should we be doing? What are, you know, we don't want to be bound by rules or rigid formulas, right, but are there best practices?
I think that's a good question. And my first thought is just, why not look at the life of Jesus? And so we're given that picture in the Gospels of what Jesus' life looked like. And so I think you see there's avenues in which Jesus recognizes the law. He says, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Right.
And so there is this weird sort of, I don't know what you'd call it, but
yeah, he's definitely got a different metric or wisdom, you know, towards it. And there are things that, I think like of the Sabbath, you know, he said, you know, Jesus says, you know, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You've taken something here. It was supposed to be a good thing because it was supposed to teach you, point to Christ. It's supposed to teach you something, but you've twisted it into something it shouldn't be
right
at all.
Right. Because there's certainly good that can come from practicing Sabbath.
Right.
You know, like practicing a day of rest. And I have friends that they... they mark a day of Sabbath. They completely unplug, and that's their day of rest. And plenty of good can come from that.
Right.
The issue, though, Brad, I think, as Paul says, is when we start to view those things, if we start to practice Sabbath as if it is the end all be all in terms
that's the
of
goal. Right.
spiritual growth in health.
Yeah. So I think you've been contrasting rules and relationship, right? It's just like there's these rules that we obsess about, but really what we're trying to get for, and the way you landed, you came towards the end, was asking us that question, are you disconnected from Christ? Because that seems to be the real problem. It's like somehow these things are getting, we're going in the wrong direction. They're preventing us from connecting to Christ, from, you know, the rest. So are you disconnected from Christ? So what would you see? I mean, what have you, we can advise each other. I think we're trying to figure it out, you know, ourselves in terms of, well, then what should we be experiencing? Is there any role for rules, and how do we really make, that relationship?
Yeah, I think, that's a great question. And I like in your previous question about best practices, because we do recognize there are certain practices that within the Christian faith are attributed to spiritual growth. Like they help in our walk with Jesus. The one thing that I'll say pertaining to that is that and you see this reflected in the life of Jesus, where he always makes time to come back to his Father. He always takes time away to isolate from the crowd, to step back from his friends even, and be with his Father. And so I think that I came away from this talk with this ever-present truth in my heart that there is nothing that is an adequate substitute for time with you and God.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's an adequate practice rule that's going to fill that void of the time that you need to be with Jesus.
Yeah, and I think we can learn lessons from earthly realities like a father and a son. You know, that's going to teach us a little bit about, you know, us and God, how we relate to others. We both have, you know, wives we love, and what are the ways to, you know, enjoy them, appreciate them, you know, revere them, elevate, you know, just how do you grow that relationship? And I think when you look at some of these things, because, you know, Paul, scriptures, they all use the examples, you know, soldiers, farmers, all these things. So there's lessons, you know, to be learned. And I think in the relationship, like if my relationship with Karen was totally governed by rules or a cookbook or a checklist, you know, I mean, you could just see that drain the life, you know, out of that relationship. But as you said, you know, just that, you know, that time and focus with, and I love what you said about the Father, because it reminded me, I remember years ago, you know, witnessing, you know, to a guy, and we went through the Gospel of John together, and I just had him read it. He read it, took him 2 nights, and I said, what do you think? And he said, I think Jesus really wants us to know the Father. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was the most brilliant summary of the Gospel of John. And he just like leapfrogged over so many mistakes we've all made.
Yes.
Right? It's the whole goal is Jesus is passionate. You need to know the Father, you know. So I think, you know, relationally, there are things, there's best practices in relationships,
totally.
You know, in our marriages.
Yeah.
And just being able to make time. And as the years go by, you know, mm-hmm. that accumulates, you know. There's just more and more depth to be seen.
And one thought I'll add to that, Brad, is at least in my journey of faith, so to give a little bit of context, I grew up as a pastor's kid, mm-hmm. grew up around church. And it wasn't until I was about 18, 19, in that range where uh-huh. I started to understand that my relationship with God needed to go beyond just times I was reading scripture.
Yeah, yeah.
And so often we can take, again, just a good and necessary thing. We uh-huh. need God's word, mm-hmm. but we almost put God in this compartment of yeah. like, okay, my time with God is when I'm reading my Bible. Mm-hmm. And then it just becomes just
right.
that.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's compartmentalized. And then Jesus is never a part of our the day-to-day, which is what he so desperately longs to be invited into.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's powerful. Yeah, that's just so true. Listen, let's see, was there other I had some ideas, but were there mm-hmm. other things that you were just words or, you know, topics that you wanted to make sure that we were really clear about?
Yeah, no, I think the most pressing one that I've felt throughout my entire time in preparation for this message was just that in my own life, I can become very self-critical. Mm. I can start to look so intently for the areas I need to improve in and mm-hmm. so focused on either a sinful pattern or a situation, and I lose sight of the freedom that Jesus has offered to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing that I would want people to understand is there's a reason why I'm not taking a whole lot of time to dive into, you know, the festivals of the Old Testament or just the ways that shadows can find themselves present in our lives, because I think
Bible reading plan you should follow.
Right.
Or what, you know, how many
yes.
minutes of prayer a day, you know, you need.
Follow Jesus. You know, sometimes I think we can get in our own head. I know I'm so guilty of that. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, I'll be on a 30-minute car ride, mm-hmm. and I'll be reflecting on, man, I wonder how this day would have looked different if I had just read my Bible this morning,
mm-hmm.
and I neglect the opportunity that I have for mm-hmm. 30 minutes in the car mm-hmm. to just say, you know what,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna allow God's word to be read over my life while I'm on this car ride, you know,
right.
like, mm-hmm. Because again, we just fall into that trap of just trying to play detective or mm-hmm. like, and there's certainly a time we see that in the Psalms where David comes mm-hmm. to God and says, God, point out any wayward way within me.
Right.
And so there's definitely a time and place for God to, mm-hmm. through the power of the Spirit, just mm-hmm. convict us of sin in our lives.
Yeah.
But man, if we are getting so caught up in the rules we are following or mm-hmm. or aren't,
mm-hmm.
we're missing out.
Yeah, it feels like a holy passivity, you know, to me in terms of we want to do and have the action. But for David to ask that question, you know, in the Psalms, you know, mm-hmm. that means we got to slow down. It means mm-hmm. we need to listen, you know, and it makes take some time, you know, to hear what God's saying. But all of these things, yeah, and you point to David, whose priority was to be a man after God's
That's
own
right.
heart and to grow that relationship. Well, listen, I love
yeah.
that insight. Anything else you wanted to share?
No, I'll just point out, too, David did not follow several rules. that God outlined, which
okay.
we could do a whole other podcast, but
now,
anyway.
Now you just complicated the whole issue. Yeah. But yes,
yeah.
strangely, sinners, you know, get reconciled with God.
That's right.
Isn't that weird? So,
yeah.
But we are so grateful for it. But
mm-hmm.
yes, it's all about the relationship. Thanks for that reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for moving us further through the book of Colossians. Every week, I'm just seeing a new way to
so cool.
apply yeah. it, you know, to my life. But yeah, I don't want to take a cookbook away from this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take just an appreciation and love and time, you know, with my Savior. So thanks for reminding us of that. Well, listen, great to have you all here this week. We're about halfway through. Hang in there through the rest of the book of Colossians.